This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Hello and welcome to the Well-Being Report on WDIY 88.1 FM. This show is co-presented by the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health and explores the vital conditions essential for people and communities to thrive. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, the Executive Director here at WDIY, and I'm joined by my co-host, Samantha Schock, who is the Executive Director of the Poole Institute for Health.
Hi, Margaret. Good to be here.
Hi. All right, so throughout 2026, we've been exploring belonging and civic muscle in action, the relationships, trust, and shared responsibility that help communities stay connected and thrive.
We have, and today we're going to focus on something a little different and a really important topic around everyday leadership, the kind that doesn't always come with a title necessarily. Our colleagues over at the Ripple Foundation use a term called stewardship. And I really like this term because it's about how people can contribute to community life in small ways every single day. It's not about a formal leadership role. It's about recognizing that we can leave our communities better than where they started when we first entered, and that we each have something that we can bring to the table. So really excited for today's conversation.
Okay, and we're calling this episode Neighbors Who Lead, focusing on what neighborliness looks like in practice. And one of the things I learned in the Poole Institute for Health fellowship this year is the difference between a resident and a neighbor.
Yes.
Which was so great. So I imagine
Darian's excitement already.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah. So we're going to look at what neighborliness looks like in practice, how trust is built block by block, and how leadership can grow from everyday relationships.
Yep. And to help guide us today, we have with us Darian Colbert, the Executive Director of Cohesion Network, and one of our close partners in our work in Franklin Park. He's been leading community engagement work in Franklin Park and the first and sixth wards in Allentown for many years.
Welcome back to the Well-Being Report, yeah. Darian.
Thank you, thank you. I'm Darian once again, and we've had two lovely neighborhood leaders from Franklin Park joining us today. We have the wonderful Amanda Cruz, who lives and works in Franklin Park neighborhood. She has two kids who are involved in the Uplift program, and she also always attends our Franklin Park neighborhood meetings unless she's on vacation. And she's on the Parent Advisory Board for Franklin Park. And then we have Mayor Lewis, a.k.a. Pastor Lewis, a.k.a. Lewis
That's
Martinez, who moved to Allentown a few years ago from the South Bronx. No, let me stop.
Boogie Down.
The Boogie Down Bronx. Yes, don't get it twisted. He's found community with Ripple Inc., Ripple Church, and also Franklin Park. He was part of a data collection effort where we all went out and did some interviews, which was a lot of work, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. And he's known throughout the community as, once again, Mayor Lewis or Pastor Lewis. So okay. Welcome to this conversation today. Welcome you both.
Thank you. Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
All right. Now, so let's start simple. When you think about being a good neighbor, what comes to mind, Amanda Lewis?
Well, for me, being a good neighbor is unity, being close-knitted with the people in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done that, and it turned out to be very good because where I lived on Turner, the store was like a block and a half away, and there was not one time that I can walk to the store and not be stopped by someone in the neighborhood. You know? And they, hi, Pastor Martinez. Hi, Pastor Lewis. How are you? What's going on in the church? I mean, and we have flyers and all that, but they'd rather speak to me about it. Mm-hmm. And that brought such a joy to me. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was part of the neighborhood, even though I'd just gotten there like a few years ago. Mm. But even the store owners knew me, but it happened like that in the Bronx, that I threw block parties. And I had the grocery stores bake cake, the bakery bake cake, and the store donate drinks and stuff like that. So I just felt that, wow, something's coming back. Something I did many years ago And I enjoyed it very much, very much, yes.
So being a good neighbor is in you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you just brought that from the
DNA.
Boogie Down Bronx.
I just brought it. Well, I thought I'd lost it, but then it just like came back again.
That's who you are.
For some reason, yes.
That's who you are.
Yes, yes. And it was a lot of fun, it still is. I just slowed down a little.
That's right.
But I'll be back.
Come on now.
By popular demand.
That's right.
So they say.
That's right.
So I'm working, I'm in a new neighborhood, but still in the zone.
In the Franklin Park neighborhood.
Yeah, in the Franklin Park neighborhood.
We're glad we didn't lose you.
Yeah, I wouldn't lose you guys for the world.
I love that.
So it's good. I'm not, I'm right across West Park, a block and a half, maybe two blocks from Franklin Park. Mm. So at first I felt kind of sad because I said, I'm no longer part of Franklin Park. But I was told, yes, you are.
Absolutely.
And that broke my heart. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm still part of it.
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Louis, for sharing. Amanda
You're
Cruz.
Welcome.
So what does it mean for you to be a good neighbor?
To me, being a good neighbor is creating a sense of community where people feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. It's about taking the time to check in, to say hello, to share resources. As a parent, I've noticed that our children and the kids in our community are constantly watching what we are doing, and they are learning, and they are picking up on everything we're doing.
That's right.
So when we can show them that we are more than just residents living in the same place, we're actually involved with each other, helping each other to shovel snow, or if they need a hand carrying something, we see somebody struggling with something, or just, you know, hey, are everything okay? The lights are out, you know, the power's, you know, gone out. Showing that to our kids, that sense of community, it builds trust. It helps them feel like they belong. It helps them teach them what they should be doing as good neighbors themselves. And that knowledge being passed down generationally is what creates active communities and neighborhoods and good neighbors. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it means to me.
Yeah, I love that. It's interesting listening to both of you, because when I was thinking about the question, as I was just sitting with it for the last few days, I thought about probably one of the most foundational things about it is in your neighborhood, finding belonging in your neighborhood. And I think a byproduct of that is that you actually care. Care about your neighbors, care about the park, care about the school district, care about things in the neighborhood. And so I think a hallmark of a good neighbor is caring. Just simply caring. Because if you care organically, you will advocate. Organically, you will clean up. Organically, you will engage your neighbors. Organically, you'll be kind. Organically, you will smile. Mm-hmm. And so I think caring is one of those hallmarks of really being a good, good neighbor. And so as you two were sharing that, I was kind of pricked to share that caring piece. Yeah. Now, neither one of you work for an agency or anything, but so what was it about this community that you said, you know, I want to be a part of that?
Well, I involved my kids in the Uplift program, and it's so funny because we went to Franklin Park regularly, but during the day, and we didn't see this program that was in the afternoons until much later because they were school, you know, preschool mm-hmm. age children. And when I saw these opportunities, I jumped on them. I'm like, yeah, my kids need more interaction. We need to be in the community more. I want them to have a family, a neighborhood of people who they can kind of help mold them. And as I'm coming and I'm seeing the work that's already being done and I'm seeing what's building around me and the organizations that are pouring their time and their effort and their resources into my community, I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to volunteer. I wanted to participate. I didn't want to just reap rewards from it. I also like wanted to participate. I wanted to help move that, you know, be some kind of driving factor. I had the time, the energy, and I wanted to put it in a place where it could make an impact.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
How about you? Nice. Why'd you decide to get involved, Mayor Lewis?
Why? Okay. When I first moved to Allentown from the Boogie Down.
Hey.
Do you still boogie?
I'm sorry.
Do you still boogie?
Looking. I lost you there. I pastored. I was a churchgoer, mm-hmm. Catholic, born again Catholic, mm-hmm. born again Christian now, and I needed to find a church, you know, but I couldn't find a Catholic church. So I said, what difference does it make? God is God to me, you know. He's the same person. So I passed around Ripple, and Pastor Angela saw me, and she invited me into the church. And I went, I saw what was happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be a part of it. There were real good things going on. From there, I got to meet Sherry from RCI, and that was good. I saw what was going on there, and it was something I did in the past. Mm-hmm. So it came easy for me, mm-hmm. you know, relationship with people, mm-hmm. and just talking freely, mm-hmm. you know. From then on, they made me a community leader, which I think I did very well, still doing well. I was announced the mayor of Franklin Park. The kids just loved me, and I loved them as well. It was something that I did in the past that came easy for me. Mm-hmm. So
well, that's good.
Now I have my health issues, so it kind of slowed me down, but I tend to pick it up, you know, slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. And be back in the swing of things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
We had Pastor Angela on our last episode and talking about the role of faith-based locations for helping people connect. So it's great to hear you share your story about how that was your sort of entry point into the neighborhood work.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. I says every community needs a Pastor Angela. For real, for real. Yeah.
So we talk a lot about belonging. About feeling seen and heard and valued and needed. And it sounds like you both feel that in your neighborhood in Franklin Park. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, like Doreen had said, I'm only away when I'm on vacation or something happens. Yesterday I was there at the Uplift program, and I hadn't been the previous, you know, Thursday. And it was a long lull. The kids hadn't seen me in a week. I walk in the door and they are running up to me, mm-hmm. hugging on me. They're clinging mm-hmm. on me. They want to tell me how their 4th of July was mm-hmm. and how, you know, everything that's happened. And it's a great feeling because, you know, you're there and you're helping these children. You're feeling the love that kids give, a certain kind of love that you
Come
cannot get anywhere else.
That's Absolutely. Right.
So if you don't have kids in your life, you need to find some. but they just really, I don't know, bring so much joy, and seeing that they're interested in what I did and they want to share with me and they want to tell me things, and it really just makes you feel like I was mm-hmm. missed. I was really missed mm-hmm. while I was gone. I belong here. These people need me. Mm-hmm. I need them. We're filling each other's cups here. We're mm-hmm. helping people grow. We're doing the hard work, mm-hmm. and it's really just as easy as being present.
Yeah. Mm. And as a newcomer mayor, I'm just going to make an assumption that as a newcomer to a town, mm-hmm. it's really important to meet and make connections with people so that you don't feel lonely.
Yes.
Right.
And I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you both extended an olive branch out to other people from both of what your stories that you shared, right? You said hello to someone, you offered a hand to someone, and then that was given back to you. And then it sort of carries forward. Have you seen that ripple of just by saying hello to someone different, that other people are then, you know, coming into those interactions as well, that it grows from there as you, you know, open up that space for people?
Absolutely. I feel like the more people you talk to, the more people you encounter within the community, a lot of times people don't know about things. They might walk past the signs that we have posted about the neighborhood meetings or about Uplift, and they don't think twice about it. They probably don't read it. But as soon as they hear something mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, I was here or there on this day, and this is what we talked about, we shared some resources, then they're interested in coming. Oh, next time you see them, when is that date? When is that meeting mm-hmm. again? And it sparks this curiosity. And then before you know it, that curiosity comes into you know, a place where they're reaching for information, and then they're attending, and then they're participating, and you know, and it just snowball mm-hmm. effect happens, and we have this now we have more and more people who are in the community. Mm-hmm. I go to the park and I see people playing who I don't see regularly, and first thing I say is, hey, do you live in the neighborhood? I haven't seen you around here much. They're like, yeah, I'm a couple blocks over. We just don't come here much. We go down to the other park. I'm like, did you know there's an after-school program right here? Mm-hmm. You know? And then before I know it, their child is, mm-hmm. you know, right. running up to Wonderful. Me, hugging me, yeah. and missing me on the day I'm gone. Wow. Yeah.
So before we, I'm going to hand it back to you, but I just, there was a recent occurrence in the neighborhood with the storms on July 4th. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know if you wanted to share a little bit about how the community came together in that neighborhood in response to, you know, you mentioned earlier the power going out. And I saw a news clip about some neighbors speaking about, they know this guy down this mother down the street whose child is on life support, or not life support, a feeding tube. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me as like, these people are looking out for each other.
Yeah, I was away during this whole storm, during the whole storm ordeal. I left on Thursday and I didn't come back until Tuesday. And so I missed all of it. However, during that time, I was receiving text messages and people were checking in. Are you okay? I was sending out messages. I found out through that chain of kind of communication that the storm was out, that the storm came and the power was out and trees were getting knocked down. One of our neighbors had, a few blocks away had a tree that was down on their garage, and one of the parks very close to Franklin Park just got completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. Several trees down, I want to say at least
some
5.
Of the oldest trees in Allentown went down. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I think one of them was from like 1910, 1908, an oak tree. It was beautiful Arbory Park, and it suffered a lot. So, we were just kind of touching base. I was checking in with some of the people who I had numbers for that were a little elderly. You know, it was a heat wave and you know, very hot. But I unfortunately wasn't here to.
But you had people who were checking in on you.
You get people's phone numbers, right? Mm-hmm. This is why you need your neighbor's phone numbers in emergency situations.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Make sure your house is okay, others is okay. So.
Yep, and we absolutely did. In the backyard, I had the neighbor text me. They had a tree that had fallen down, and they were just like, "Hey, did you have any damage?" I'm like, "I'm not there. Do you see anything?"
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it
that's
was
when it's important to really have community.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there's a tree that lies there like in front of my window. And that's how I could tell how the temperature is going to be. But this tree was going back and forth, back and forth. And I, you know, the silly of me to say, well, at least it's cool in here.
At least not for long.
I couldn't imagine like trees falling and stuff like that. And that's why I got to get more connected, getting phone calls so I can check on people and see how they're doing, you know, because it's my obligation for me to find out just how my neighbors are doing. So thank you.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely.
So it's interesting, everyday leadership in action, you just really shared. That's what it is. Hey, someone's calling you while you're on vacation. Are you okay? People, that's everyday leadership in action. People don't understand it, but the hallmark of that is caring. People care. So people cared about Amanda. And, hey, are you okay? Did you get any damage? Well, I'm not there. Can you look in my backyard? That's everyday leadership in action. But Amanda, you have taken a more active leadership role in the Franklin Park neighborhood. What has helped you take that next step?
I think that it's really people believing in me before I believed in myself.
Oh, come on now.
So I felt as a participant, I was being asked for not just my participation, but my perspective on things. And those are two different things, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody sitting here and saying, you know, I'd like for you to come to saying, no, I'd like to really hear what you have to say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that puts value in who you are and your experiences. It made me feel that as a... as a parent, as a community member, I have something to give to the table, that my perspective is valued and important. And if anything that I've experienced, my life or my job or anything, can bring joy or make anyone else's life any easier at all, I'd like to share that information and help them along the way, because that's just what should be happening.
That's called the value system, and I'm so glad you have that. Okay, Mayor Lewis, so people call you the mayor of Franklin Park. What does that mean to you when you hear people call you the mayor?
It means that I'm important to people's lives. Mm. They care what I have to say, what I do, what I'm part of. The kids just love me there. I mean, they started calling me Pastor. I says, well, I don't know. So it's really that they have respect for me.
That's right.
They have respect for me.
They do.
And I appreciate that very much. Like I said, it brings me back to my past days when I was growing up. They call me the mayor. That's where it all started. Because I had block parties in the neighborhood where I had to do a lot of work, go to city hall, get noise permit, music, vendors, and all that. And it was a joy just doing that.
Come on.
it was like the best. The kids had like dance contests, and everyone got involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, at a certain time, the streets had to be cleared up, mm-hmm. no cars. Everyone, at the end, we cleaned up, spick and span. Mm-hmm. The block was back to where it was. And the kids enjoyed it very much. Hey, Mayor, when are you going to do this again?
That's right.
When are you going to do this? And just coming to Allentown, I felt, wow, this is coming back. You know,
that's
so
right.
It was, yeah. It's just I got to get more active in my role. Mm-hmm. But it'll come, you know, with health issues and mm-hmm. things like that. And I'll be fine.
That's right.
We all contribute what we can when we can.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Absolutely.
So to the both of you, what are small ways people can practice leadership or, like Sam said, stewardship in the Franklin Park neighborhood?
I think that the biggest and most easiest way is to just reach out to your neighborhood, your neighbors. Be friendly. Say hello. You know, when somebody new moves on the block, introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, see what... Just find out information about them. Where are they working? What are they doing? What's their mm-hmm. schedule like? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so recycling's on this day. Garbage is on this day. Like, just
absolutely.
Let people know things that they would mm-hmm. not know moving into a neighborhood.
Yes, we have street cleaning on this day, and this is what time they come. And, you know, just sharing that information so that they know, feeling like they can ask you questions, opening the lines of communication mm-hmm. so that resources and conversation can flow organically and naturally. Once you have a level of trust and a comfortability within people, that's when they can ask you or talk to you about their issues that they have, and we can problem solve together mm-hmm. in the whole community. Because I'll tell you one thing, if one person has a problem with it, I'm sure there's a dozen more who haven't spoken about it either. So it takes people talking to get the issues and the information out there so that change can be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this information isn't specific to Franklin Park. I said Franklin Park, but this is to any neighborhood.
It is.
Would
absolutely.
You share that information is universal. It can mm-hmm. work in any neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I remember when I moved onto my block, I had experienced something that I never experienced anywhere else. It was during the pandemic, and a neighbor who had only lived in my neighborhood for 1 year prior to me, I wasn't even moved in yet. It was April of 2020, and I just closed on my house, and they slipped in a note in my mail slot, and they said, hey, I'm the neighbor at this address. My name is this and this. Here's my number.
Nice.
But we're going to have porch wine at 6 feet social distancing.
There you
go. Want to come out. And I was like, what? On this day and this time. And I was like, I wasn't even there yet. But I tell you, I grabbed a bottle of wine and I ran over to the house with no furniture, no nothing in the house. And I went out into the street and I met my neighbors. And there was probably I want to say, you know, six, eight people out there, all social distancing. And I got to meet several of my neighbors that day. Never experienced that anywhere else, but I think it was the most beautiful thing. Mm. And to this very day, I have that letter on my refrigerator.
Oh,
come
on.
That's awesome. Yep.
Come on.
So
that's
it's great. A beautiful thing.
Nice. How to be a good neighbor. Read that. No.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how to be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not happening anymore.
And now, to this day, my kids see the man who wrote the letter to me. And his name, they call him Papa now.
Mm.
So they don't have we don't have any grandfathers in our family.
Wow.
So they call him Papa.
Wow, yeah. That's
great. It's just Papa's a small thing, right? I think it's so easy for us. We talk about this all the time on the show. It's so easy to just stay in your own, you know, bubble or your lane. Be a resident. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, go to work, come back, just mm-hmm. do what you need to do for your own property. But just those small things can just open up a whole world of different conversations and opportunities.
But I find it, that's probably your on-ramp to being a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Someone was a good neighbor to you.
Absolutely.
And now you're a good neighbor right now. And so someone's kindness, someone caring, slides you a note during the pandemic. And look at not your kids calling Papa. I think that is powerful. That's
absolutely
moving that dial from resident to neighbor. Yeah. And that day, before you moved in, I think your neighbor, who's now Papa, said, hey, he moved that dial for you from resident to, and I'm going to be a neighbor now.
Yeah, and now he's a steady part of our life. I mean, we celebrate Christmases together, and he invites me to his gatherings. He does. And we are just like so integrated. He goes on vacation. He's like, hey, can you walk the dog or can you check on the house? And we have this very tight.
And just so you know, that's happening in Franklin Park and downtown Pennsylvania. I just wanted to say that. Because we get a bad rap sometimes.
Go ahead, Marvin. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
To wrap us up, I have a question. So we started the episode talking about stewardship. And so they talk about three practices of stewardship, and I'd like to just get your reactions if you think these are the right things or if there are other things missing from that. One is connecting with people across differences. Second one is creating opportunities. And the third one is learning and adapting, that each of us as stewards, if we do those three things where we can, that we are, you know, living into our role as stewards, essentially. What is your reaction as you hear that? Do those seem to fit? Is there anything missing?
Communication is key, like, you know, that just being present, communication is so number one, building those relationships, number one for sure. I think when it comes to learning, it's really about being open-minded too. I think that that's really important, just to make sure that we, and I really think that one thing is to approach things from like a curious standpoint, right? Instead of, sometimes we tend to see things and see situations that other people are going through, and we look at it maybe with a little bit of a judgmental eye. And we don't know. We don't know the situations. We don't know what's going on. But to approach people with curiosity on why they need and what they need and who they are, rather than making judgment calls, really helps to, help communities grow and help us reflect and help us provide resources that are needed and help us, you know, just really going. Because when you feel like you're being judged, you really just close off. And once you have one person closing off, then you have several other, you know, they're not making connections with any of those people are in their community. And those people also can feel like they want to close off. So, you know, they say that if you say a negative comment to a child, you have to say seven positive comments about the same thing to change it. And that same exact thing, I think, happens with adults. If you close them off and judge them one time, it takes seven more interactions to make that situation, to undo that. So if we can kind of check our biases and see where we are and make sure that we come from a place of care and love and helpfulness, that we can
humanity.
Yeah,
share humanity.
Exactly. Then we can make a bigger difference.
So it's interesting you share that. And so this is just a small story to bring home the point you're talking about. Well, I run into trouble, and I always run far away from people because I want to run by myself, because I want to run. And the whole aisle was empty. And this guy walked up and started jogging right next to me. And I started jogging, and I remained curious because my really good friend, Sam Shack, said, what about a reframe? What's a good reframe? So I thought about Sam on this treadmill when this guy, and I was booking on a treadmill. You know, you booking, my sweat's blowing all over the place. And he came right next to me, and all the rest of the treadmills were empty. So I said, a reframe is, and I looked up, I said, he probably wants to watch that TV show. That's my reframe. So I was able to finish out my workout because I remained curious, and I did a reframe on it. Everyone should be like that with everything, just being curious. I think Brene Brown says, choose curiosity over criticism. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that thought about, because there I am, Sam Thomas had a reframe.
Yeah, I've all had that experience, absolutely.
Well, we are all out of time so quickly, but today's conversation reminds us that leadership doesn't always start with a position. It often starts with a presence. And that's what you're all demonstrating right now.
Absolutely. And it's not about programs. It's about the relationships we have, bridging those gaps, and being consistent and showing up for each other. We are grateful for Darian, Amanda, and Lewis for being with us here today and sharing your experiences.
Yes. So as we continue our season on belonging and civic muscle in action, we'll keep highlighting the people, the practices, and the help that communities that help communities thrive from the ground up. For myself, Margaret McConnell, and Samantha Shock, thanks for listening to the Wellbeing Report on WDIY. You can always listen again on our website, wdiy.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you. Until next time, be well and stay connected.
This has been the Well-Being Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.